620, 1320, WILS. So last year, a German historian argued that the Associated Press was complicit in allowing the Nazis to portray a war of extermination as a conventional war. Well, the Associated Press wanted to review the information. They just have come out with the data. The man they hired to look back to the 1930s to find out exactly what occurred was Larry Heinzerling. He's an adjunct assistant professor at the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism, a man that spent over 40 years himself working for the AP. His father did also. Larry, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you. Glad to be there.
Yeah. What did you do at the AP for over 40 years?
Well, I was a foreign correspondent in Africa for 10 of those years, in West Africa and then South Africa, covered sort of the post-colonial era there, the Soweto riots in South Africa. Uh-huh. I went to Germany, was chief of bureau there for 4 years, and then came to the U.S. As director of World Services. One of the more exciting episodes of my life was also being in charge of the Terry Anderson case. He was the reporter in Beirut that was kidnapped and held captive for 7 years.
Yeah.
Almost 7 years.
Did you spend any time in Beirut yourself?
I did not. I spent a lot of time in other places, but not in Beirut.
Okay. Probably a good place to avoid at that point. Larry, what did you think when you first heard this historian saying the AP was actually complicit in allowing the Nazis to basically portray the war as something it was not? What was your initial thought on that?
Well, not just mine, but I think everyone at AP was surprised, hadn't heard about this, was clueless about it, thought it was worth investigating. And my investigation, with the help of the AP, which was totally open and they're giving me their files to look at, the AP did nothing about it. She was absolutely correct that the Nazis were taking material from AP and abusing the captions and using photos for anti-Semitic purposes.
Like, give me an example. What were they doing exactly?
Well, they had, there were pictures of Americans who had married Jewish people, and they made fun of them in their captions. There was this magazine called Die Juden, the Jews, in which they showed American Jews not compromising situations, but just making them look bad. There was a picture of they hated in particular New York Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia, and had a picture of him on the cover of Die Juden, eating with his hands. And as you know, anyone who eats with their hands doesn't look good in a photograph, and this just made him look terrible.
These were AP photos they were using?
Yes.
Okay. And the AP, now why did the AP not react to this or shut down their connection with the Nazis?
I think the attitudes in those days were what we provided to newspaper subscribers, what they did with our photos after they received them was up to them. And I have to say that by the late 50s or early 60s anyway, when I was started working for AP, news contracts specifically stated photos could not be abused, and AP could cease service if they were. And I think maybe that was a lesson learned from World War II that that was applied after the war.
So talking to Larry Heinzerling, he is an adjunct professor at the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism, former editor at the Associated Press. So the assertion, though, by this German historian, Harriet Scharnberg, I believe that's how it's pronounced, but the fact,
that's correct.
Her saying that basically the AP allowed the Nazis to hide the fact that they were this was a war of extermination, that they somehow concealed that through the photos, I'm guessing. What did you find there?
Well, I don't understand what she means, and I'm not frankly sure whether the translation of what she said is correct. We covered the war as best we could photographically from the material provided by handouts of the German government.
Okay. Now, were there AP reporters and photographers inside Nazi Germany throughout the war?
No.
There were not. Okay.
We were all, the reporters were all kicked out in 41, at the end of 41. And we had to rely on the photos being produced by various propaganda companies in the Army and in the SS, the Waffen-SS units.
And how did the AP deal with that, knowing that these are essentially propaganda photos?
Well, I think no differently than with other propaganda photos from the U.S. and Britain. They were looked at. If they were considered newsworthy, they were used. I found many cases where photographs were, there was a notation on them, propaganda, more propaganda, and they're still in the photo library of the AP, but were never distributed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the sense that AP didn't have intelligent photo editors in New York who were looking at this material coming from Germany mm-hmm. and making, you know, careful decisions about what should be distributed and what not. It's silly. I mean, the AP had intelligent photo editors who were looking at this material and selecting it for newsworthiness.
Yeah. Well, you're sitting yourself and looking through so many of these photos. How many would you say you looked through? How many photos in doing the review?
I'd say I looked at least 1,000, and there are many more than that.
Yeah. And what's the impression you were getting as you look through? These are the photos sent out of Nazi Germany, right?
Right. A lot of them were, well, we're talking about before the war or
after the U.S. got into the war, yeah.
After the U.S. got into the war, the flow went down. The one estimate from the Lauchs, Helmut Lauchs, who was channeling photos back and forth during the war to AP, mm-hmm. estimated 10,000 in all. Of which 3,000 came from the U.S.
And what were the pictures of? What kinds of an impression were they trying to send over here?
Okay, for example, some of the more dramatic ones were bombing raids on Stalingrad, a massacre in Ukraine, which they blamed on the Soviet secret police. And it's questionable whether that's what it was or not, but that's what they said, and photos were published with that caption. Mm-hmm. Pictures of American POWs being boarded onto a train, pictures of Hitler at the front.
In terms of them being able to sculpt how we viewed how the war was going and what we thought about Nazi Germany, how effective were the Nazis in using these kinds of photos?
Well, I don't know what you mean by effective. I don't think, and my impression is that all of these photos that were used, and we looked at a lot of photos in American newspapers, you know, what they used and how many they used. Mm-hmm. And I must say, if you're an intelligent reader, I don't think anybody got fooled, neither the photo editors at AP in New York nor newspaper editors nor their readers. I mean, the captions were pretty clear on where the photos were coming from. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think anybody really got fooled.
One last thing, because the New York Times reported that the Nazi regime, while they cracked down the international press, the AP was able to report in Germany until 1941. Is that accurate?
Yes, AP had staff there until December of 1941 when they were all arrested.
Okay.
Detained for 5 months, and then were traded for German and Italian reporters and diplomats being held in the U.S. in May of 1942.
Must have been a scary time to be an AP reporter in Germany there, huh?
Yeah, I think not, actually, because journalists had pretty good status in those days, so that, you know, they were treated more or less like diplomats. They were all kept in a hotel, well-fed, and then finally exchanged for the German and Italian journalists and diplomats in the U.S.
Larry Heinzerling, adjunct assistant professor at the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism, a man who spent over four decades as working for the Associated Press, an editor there himself. Larry, it's been very interesting. Thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you. 6:30. When we come back, a doctor who has this incredible condition where he literally feels the emotional and physical experiences of other people and is susceptible to the pain and discomfort of his patients. He's a Harvard-trained neurologist. He'll tell us what that does for him as a doctor next, right here on WILS.